Welcome back, guys, to Overserved with myself, Pooch, and my wonderful co-host, Rachel. And guys, my favorite part of the week, I get to, you know, shoot it and kind of talk to Rachel about what's going on with tennis on and off the court. A lot going on right now. We have a big tournament just finished out of D.C., a ton going on. Unfortunately, none of the U.S. players were able to come through, get a big victory on home soil. I was hoping Fritz or, you know, maybe Tiafo would have pulled through, but unfortunately, it was Daniel Evans, so shout out to him, but definitely an interesting tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did not have a Dan Evans in talent Greek sport ATP 500 final on my bingo card this year. But here we are. And, you know, it's good to see Dan get the win. I think it teaches everyone a lesson of resilience. That's kind of been his career. He's been super resilient, had a lot of highs and lows. And this tournament, I think, was huge for him. He was just coming off a couple tough losses, and to see him really put his head down and just like give it his all and come away with the win, it's really good to see. So congrats to him.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, you know, a tough, I don't even want to say weak, because something like Fritz made it to the semifinal. It was surprising all the way around. You know, Dan Evans hasn't had a good year, and it was something where he was probably on the bottom of everybody's radar, and you give him credit, he pulled through and did what he had to do. But at least for me, it was a little bit disappointing. You know, I'm a big Fritz guy. I was kind of hoping it was something where he hasn't gotten one of those titles, at least recently, where at this point last year, the last few months, he's been playing really solid. And I feel like, he's in the top 10, could get himself in that next tier of like top five, or, you know, a real serious player of being taken seriously to consider for every Grand Slam. But unfortunately, didn't happen this week, but there's a lot going on. The guys are in Toronto right now, and then we'll have Cincinnati again, another American tournament. But fortunately enough, Coco Gauff did come through for the women's side, which was a huge win for her.
No, it's so amazing to see her do so well. And I love seeing a young American girl just do so well and be so stand out. I mean, it's crazy to think that this girl's only 19. What I always think about is like hearing her talk after the match, her speech. She is just like, she speaks so well. She gets her point across. She's so great. And I think it's really good for the game. And I think she's got such a promising future ahead. She's so well spoken. And it's really great to see her at the top of the game. And she just looked large and in charge during that final. She had it the entire time. So I really am definitely rooting for Coco.
Yeah, it's unreal because she is only 19. I feel like she's been playing at such a high for 3-4 years. It's like, once again, what was I doing when I was 18 years old? Division III football, barely getting on the field. So it's one of those things, I look at it and I'm like, it really is impressive. And it's one of those things, she still has so much more to prove, because I had no idea. If somebody was like, hey, put money on it, whatever, has Coco Gauff won a 500 level tournament? I would have said, yeah, of course, what do you mean? And she hasn't yet. It just shows she's been playing at such a high level, but still has so much more to do. Like you said, I saw her at Indian Wells, saw one of her matches, and like one of the most, obviously how talented she is, but post-match and pre-match, you know, she just is very good with the crowd. She's talking about, hey, I had like Lil Wayne and Drake going on my headphones. I was locked in, you know, fired up. And I'm like, yeah, she's super personable. Great for the game. Great for, you know, the American side of things. So a lot of success to her. I'm super glad she won this tournament. I hope she gets that Grand Slam soon. I really do.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully this U.S. Open, we'll see her at least make a really deep run in the draw.
Yeah, you can't tell me, just like in the sense, I know it's different from Serena, obviously, for different reasons, but just like, you know, that people were hoping Serena would get that last one. I think Coco in New York City would be hoping that would be the place she gets it. Yeah, it would be super exciting. And a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. We move from D.C. A lot of exciting stuff going on. The men go down, or up, I should say, to Toronto. I'm going to go to Montreal, and there's been we're only in round two, and there's been a ton of upsets. We had Tsitsipas go down to Monfils in straight sets. We had McKenzie, for those who don't know, Mackenzie McDonald ended up taking down Rublev, same thing, straight sets, who was, you know, one of the top 10 guys in the world right now. Tsitsipas number 4 in the world, Rublev number 7. And then we also had, Felix Auger-Aliassime, who's just struggling right now. Once again, lost on his birthday in his home country to Max Purcell, the Aussie. So a lot going on right now.
Yeah, I got a couple of these matches you mentioned to talk about. We can start with Mackie and Rublev. You know, I think it's a thing in his game. His game's not flawed. It's nothing to worry about. I think what it is I think he's exhausted. I think he needs to take a break. He's one of the players on tours that just packs his schedule up, and he barely takes any time off. I don't think there's anything wrong with his game. I think he simply needs to just take a little break. So maybe that this early exit in Toronto will be good for him. He'll get that downtime that he needs, even though I know he'll be training on the court probably hours a day. He'll get that downtime and then hopefully come back, fresh for Cincy in the U.S. Open. And then there's, Mackie. He is so great. And I'm so happy that he got the win. He's one of my favorite players to watch as far as just how calm, cool, and collected he is on court. He's, you can barely ever tell if he's winning or losing. He's just so even keeled. So he's great. I'm happy that he got the win. When I saw that he was ranked 59, I was very surprised. I thought he was ranked way higher. So, I hope that he does get end the year, ranked much higher than that. I think that he absolutely will, if not by the end of the year, early next year. And then let's talk about Felix. After his match, he was asked about it, and he said about his team specifically. It's like since you've been with Tony Nadal, haven't had a lot of success. He said, you know what? It's on me. It's not on Tony. It's not on my team. I've had the same team when I was successful. I've had the same team now. And he said, this is on me. We're in solution mode. I think that every single player, great player, goes through a slump. I think that this is Felix's slump. And I think that he's going to come back bigger and better from it. I think he's going to learn a lot. He's going to get through it. He's going to figure it out. And he's going to come back. So I'm just looking forward to that moment when he does put the pieces together and can start executing on some wins.
Yeah, it really is crazy because in tennis, it's like when teams go through a slump, there's usually a few different reasons. But when it's one guy, the only person that can get you out of that slump is yourself. So it's something I think that thing that shocks people the most is that, Felix at this, I don't even want to say this point last year, but last season, he's a guy who made it to the Nito finals, which is not easy. That serve looked incredible. His game looked full. And now he's at a point where, for those who don't know, he's 1-8 in his last 9 and hasn't won 2 straight matches since Indian Wells, which is a long time. I went to Indian Wells. I wish I was there right now. Instead, I'm in New York. But it was a long time ago. So something, is it injury? I know he's had to pull out of a few tournaments. Is it just a mental mindset? Is it, a confidence thing? You just don't know. And the only person that probably knows is him and maybe some people in his team. But just a guy, it's something where, they got the Davis Cup Award, the Canada team, at the beginning of the Toronto tournament. They were announced. I'm sure he was feeling good. It was his birthday. I'm sure he had a ton of family, friends supporting him and just wasn't able to pull out a win against – if it was something where he was playing some really tough competition, but I mean, Max Purcell, a talented guy, but something that, you'd expect a guy like Felix to not be losing to at this point in his career. Hopefully he picks it up. And he, like you said, I think a lot of these players do go through slumps. It just kind of if and when he does come out of it, and hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, totally. Felix is, to me, one of the closest players to Roger Federer as far as class, as far as elegance, outspokenness, how he presents himself. I've always thought Felix was just very, gentlemanish, and just reminds me a lot about Federer. And I think that he's awesome. And like you said, I hope he does put the pieces together and comes back and shows some great results coming up.
Definitely. And then kind of going back, at least for a second, going back with Rublev, that was something I totally forgot about. And I saw it all over Twitter a few weeks ago, and it makes so much sense because he's a guy, he can play in every 250. He has a chance to play in every 500. And, he's playing nonstop, and yes, it's good for him. But at the same time, he's probably so tired and beat down because he's just – I'm sure if you go back and look up how much court time he has compared to a lot of the other players on tour, especially top players, he has to be number one or two easily. So like you said, it's kind of going to be a blessing in disguise per se, some big tournaments coming up. And then same thing, I feel like Tsitsipas plays a lot too. I feel like he plays a lot of tennis. I think his situation, maybe, I know he was just in Cabo, 1-250. And maybe, he was relaxing. I would have, hung out, had a good time in Cabo after, laid on the beach for a little bit, especially if my girlfriend was Paula Badoza. So, I mean, I can't blame him for, kind of taking it easy, potentially, having a few margaritas, whatever he was doing in Cabo. So I'm not super surprised in this one. But my feast did look good, to his credit.
Yeah, totally. But let's talk about Casper at Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with this.
For those who don't know, he was invited by the Toronto Blue Jays to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, and it was an absolute heater right down the middle. It was unreal and just showed how well-rounded of an athlete Casper is.
And I speak so highly of Casper. He's one of the greatest tennis players in the world. He's a great golfer. We just saw him play hockey with the NHL players in Toronto, which he was good at. And he just, like you said, threw an absolute heater at this Toronto Blue Jays game. I mean, what doesn't this guy do? What isn't he good at? He's literally good at every single sport that he plays. I can't think of another athlete that is. And yeah, he's the best athlete, I think.
I completely agree, because we've seen people throw that first pitch and we've seen it awful. We've seen it bounce 50 feet in front of the home plate. We've seen it go 50 feet in, you know, behind the catcher. We saw 50 Cent, for example. The guy couldn't
make that's right.
Would think he threw a baseball once in his life and was not even close. One of the worst first pitches of all time. And we've seen a bunch of other athletes that either bounce the ball, like I said, or it's not even close. And I would think, if you ask Casper how many times he's thrown a baseball, I would guess not many. I could be wrong, but he looks like he's done it before. And it just, I think, yes, the people that know that Casper is a really good golfer have seen him throw a baseball. We see he's a really good athlete, obviously, on the tennis court. But I feel like I'm never watching a match where people are like, oh my God, his athleticism. Like, compared to guys like Novak, Alcaraz, I feel like he doesn't get compared to some of those guys in the, you know, athletic department. So it's something, it just shows. I think he's somebody that could kind of do it all.
You know, I've always felt that way too. I always felt that he was a bit unappreciated. And I went to, you know, a couple of years ago in Boston during Labor Cup, he was doing a top court filming that I was assisting with. And so I was right by the court. And one thing I was so impressed with was his forehand. Like, it was the heaviest shot that I've seen. It was right up there with Rafa's to me. Like, I was just shocked with how heavy it was, how deep he could hit it, how hard he would hit it, how consistent it was. He is so athletic. And you're right, people don't give him that credit. And it bothers me. Like, I don't know what it is about him. I don't know if it's just because he's one of the quieter players on tour or something. But I think he deserves a lot of more credit than he gets.
Yeah, and the most impressive thing to me about Casper, more than anything else, is forehand, how athletic he is the tan line he has on his forehead. Incredible. For those who haven't seen, we'll throw a picture up. It's solid. Like, he's committed to it. Like, I know he could – it's got to be something. I'm sure he doesn't self-tan, but he could self-tan that thing, or I don't know if he could go in the tanning bed and just put the forehead. But he could do something to get rid of it, but he does not. And, I mean, it's his thing now. He looks solid. I mean – he's obviously playing well. So, I mean, if the tan line forehead is his thing, I mean, shout out to Casper. But that was my favorite thing about Casper.
No, a lot of these guys have interesting tan lines. It's a tennis tan line.
Absolutely.
Hats, headbands, all that.
Exactly. And then my question to you, kind of talking about Casper playing so many different sports, is what player on tour do you seriously not – he maybe would be okay at if you just see him do it in the backyard or, you know, out in front of the house. But if he was playing another professional sport, what athlete on tour, what tennis player do you think could play another professional sport, and what sport?
And obviously the answer, like we just said, would be Casper and golf. But, you know, we think about how Rafa had to choose between soccer and tennis. He chose tennis. I think he would have been, you know, a world star, like, soccer player. Also, I think about Sebastian Korda. His sister Nelly is that golf star. I bet that he probably could have had some golf in him too. I think it may be a family thing. And then I think that Nick Kyrgios definitely puts in enough hours on the basketball court where he could be a star NBA player as well. But yeah, it's interesting because a lot of these guys can play other sports. And it's fun to kind of see, you know, at the Miami Open, they're kicking a soccer ball around, doing tricks, juggling the soccer ball. They're all very, very talented. And yeah, it just goes to show how athletic all of them are.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you?
Yeah, so one of the things you made me realize too is I feel like to be able to play tennis, like, it's like an unwritten rule, you have to be a decent soccer player. Because anytime you see these European players on court, you just see that kick in the tennis ball, they're volleying it up. I saw Berrettini a few weeks ago, him and his team before the tennis match, they're kicking the ball around, the soccer ball, same thing with Alcaraz. And I should probably say football instead of soccer ball, or murdered by them. But yes, a football. So it just shows how well, you know, an athlete all of them really are. But my underdog sleeper pick, for those who don't know, I have so much bias towards the Italians. Pucciarelli, me and my Italians will always be like this, even though they don't know they don't know I exist, but I know they exist. So I'm like, it would be my guy. Yannick Sinner is actually an unreal skier, like top level. I don't know if he could be in the Olympics, but I'm sure if he put the time in, I think, like, that's one of those things. If you put 90% of people on skis, even really good athletes, I think a lot of them would really struggle. So I think Sinner, just seeing some of the videos, we'll throw a few on some of the pictures, videos of him skiing, I do think he could be an Olympic skier.
Totally. And I think Novak Djokovic is a good skier too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not better than Sinner because he's not Italian. But if Novak was Italian, I'd do it. So.
Wait, what does Italian have to do with it? Is there like mountains, like ski mountains?
Oh, I'm an Italian, so anything Italian. Oh, okay. My co-host doesn't even know my nationality. You see this?
I do. I just once seeing a week. An Italian. I was just curious.
Actually, guys, for those who don't know, she's forced to do this by contract. So she's actually doing it every time we get on, but she just has to do it for now, unfortunately. We'll keep it on moving. So, guys, also, we spoke a lot about Toronto, what's going on with them. Some real big news, obviously. Iger, world number one, is in Montreal right now. There were some clips and some videos, pictures of her training. And something that's caught a lot of news is a kind of different training technique or method is with her with tape over her mouth.
Look, I know Iga had the tape over her mouth. I could think of a few other players that I would rather have tape over their mouth, specifically the loud grunters. I'm not going to name any names. No, I'm just kidding. But the first thing I thought of when I saw that was, obviously some kind of breathing thing, like some kind of training thing. But for me, it's interesting because when you're playing tennis, you're taught that you need to exhale when you make contact with the shot. That's where the grunt comes from. You're really breathing into the shot. You get the power. You can hit it clean. So taking that away was a little bit interesting to me. I'm not sure the strategy behind that. She is number one in the world for a reason, and she's got a world-class trainer. So I know that they have their reasons and strategies behind that.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you said maybe some other players might need it, the first thing that came to my head was Sabalenka. And then I was like, I'm going to take that back because she will beat the crap out of me. So I was like, I went with it anyway, at least for now. I think I'm safe.
Good call.
In my New York apartment, I do not think Sabalenka is going to show up. I'm kidding. Not Sabalenka. Like you said, I trust her team. I trust her. One of the top players in the world right now, and seeing her, I'm sure she's going into New York, at least watching Breakpoint, the Netflix series, and seeing last year's seeing the U.S. Open. It seemed like a lot for her. So I'm sure she's going into a positive mindset, really confident. We'll see what happens.
Hold on. Yeah.
And then to close out the episode, the biggest news of the week, our boy Roger Federer turned 42. It's crazy that, he's only been away from the game now. I know last year was kind of his going away party. But even before that, it's like we haven't seen him on court before that. So it feels like he's been away a lot longer than he has been. But the guy looks great. Like I said, he looks like his age, like fine wine, just like his game has. But obviously, happy birthday, Roger Federer.
Yeah, happy birthday to Roger, to the GOAT, to the greatest. It's good to see him living his life. It's good to see. Yeah, you know what? I do agree with you on Rafa, but he's up there. Okay. But it is good to see, him living his life and having fun, being a dad, making his appearances. He went to the Met Gala. He's had some, great, press around him and everything. And it's just good to see him living his life and being happy.
Yeah. And the thing, it's always like positive news with those guys. They're like everywhere. Yeah. We're at the same time because you always like see them there, but it's always positive stuff. It's always never like, oh, behind the scenes of them going out or whatever. So it's very, they're very public but private at the same time. And I think that's, probably the way they do it. And they do a great job at that.
Totally. And it's good to see him make appearances at the tournament too, like Wimbledon. That was awesome. So I could only hope for a U.S. Open appearance.
Him being around the game, being around younger players, just in general is great for the game. So it's good to see Roger out. So happy birthday, Roger.
That's right.
So guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Overserved. Hope to see you guys next week. We'll be past Toronto getting ready for Cincinnati. So see you guys then.
Thanks for listening and see you guys soon.